Now, as part of the ABC's week-long conversation and fundraiser called Mental As, we're discussing the growing evidence of the relationship between what we eat and how our brain responds to the food choices we make. Dr. Felice Jacka is a psychiatric epidemiologist with a strong interest in the prevention of mental disorders. Her primary research is on the possible influence of diet and nutrition on common mental disorders like depression and anxiety. And Dr. Felice Jacka, welcome to RN First Bite.
Good morning.
Can we begin by you outlining what happened when you looked into the diet of 3,000 adolescents and what you found out?
We looked at adolescents in both 2005 and 2007, so 2 years apart, and we saw, as we've seen in many other studies, pretty clear dose-response relationships between their diets and their levels of mental health well-being. And in particular, we saw that those who had higher scores on what we call an unhealthy dietary pattern, they were worse off, and those who had higher scores on a healthy, nutrient-dense dietary pattern, they were better off. But that over time, this was also the case. And in particular, those whose diet quality changed over the two-year period, we saw a change in mental health, either for the better or the worse, depending on which direction their diets changed.
What were some of the key ingredients of a diet, an adolescent diet in this study, that led to better health outcomes 2 years down the track?
Well, generally what you'll see is a healthy dietary pattern has higher intakes of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, those sorts of things, whereas the unhealthy dietary pattern is all the usual suspects of, you know, soft drink and processed and refined foods. In this particular study, we looked at things such as what kind of snacks they had after school, whether they were having unhealthy processed snacks or whether they were having bread and fruit, whether or not they were having breakfast, and most importantly, the number of fruits and vegetables they were having every day.
There are a number of elements in fresh food that are known to be mood stabilisers. Selenium, which is found in Brazil nuts, cereals, meat, fish and eggs. Folic acid, which is contained in brown rice, leafy greens, broccoli and orange juice. And tryptophan, which is in banana, poultry and salmon. Plus, there's foods that may trigger the release of endorphins, like chocolate and chili. Although with chocolate, it can come at a cost of high sugar and fat. However, talking about certain foods affecting mental health wasn't even on the research radar as recently as 5 years ago, as Felice Jacka remembers well.
When I came into psychiatric research, which was kind of accidental, I was really surprised to see that there was no literature at all around the relationship between diet and mental health. There'd been a couple of studies looking at supplements and, you know, individual nutrients, but that's quite different to what we're talking about. And so when I set out to look at this and to test some hypotheses, there was a great deal of scepticism. And what I've found really interesting over the last 4 or 5 years has been the shift in attitude, I guess, and acceptance. And I mean, that comes about as a function of the increasing evidence base and more understanding about how things are working. But really, in the last 12 months, I've seen a major shift. I founded the International Society for Nutritional Psychiatry Research at the beginning of last year, and that now has close to 200 members from all over the world, including some of the leading academic institutions. We held our first meeting in Japan last year, and that is really going from strength to strength.
So do we then have a causal relationship yet? Is there enough evidence to support the fact that if I go ahead and eat certain kinds of diet that is high in fresh fruit and vegetables and perhaps low in meat, that therefore I have less chance of being anxious or depressed? Can I make that assumption?
Look, on the basis of the observational data, which is now very, very consistent, and we have meta-analyses now showing that the association is there between diet and mental health, certainly one would make a good guess that that's the case. Also, the fact that in the experimental data, so these are experiments using animals where you manipulate diet and you look at the influence on the brain and a whole range of other parameters, we see that diet and nutrition have a very clear influence on a whole range of biological processes that we know are important in mental health. However, we really need randomised controlled trials where you manipulate diet and look at the impact on mental health. And actually, we're conducting the first one of those trials as we speak. So we're taking people who have major depression, and they're randomised to receive one of two interventions, and one of those is a dietary counselling support intervention. So we support them over 3 months to improve their diet, and then we're going to see whether or not that has an impact on their levels of depression. And really importantly, we're looking at a whole lot of processes that might mediate that relationship. So, for example, we're collecting blood samples and stool samples now, urine, saliva, and we can look at these to see if you change diet, what changes in the body and how does that then link to any changes in mental health, so that we've got a better understanding of actually what's happening when you manipulate diet.
What are some of the key foods in a diet rich in the kind of nutrients and vitamins and supplements that are good for our brain that we should be eating?
Look, I think the strongest evidence base is around the Mediterranean diet, and that's certainly been one that's been studied very thoroughly because it's certainly associated with much better health outcomes. And really, the composition of the Mediterranean diet is what we should be advocating for everybody. So that's a high intake of plant foods, vegetables, fruits, etc. Legumes in particular, you know, lentils, beans, chickpeas, etc., they're very important. You know, the gut microbiota depend on fibre to do the fermentation processing, which is key to our immune system. And really, only about 20% of Australians are getting enough dietary fibre. So fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, but also nuts, raw nuts, your almonds and walnuts, hazelnuts, etc., not the salted roasted variety, but the raw ones, they're really key. They seem to be particularly important.
And Felice, what's the nutrients in all these foods you've been describing that are having the beneficial effects on our mental well-being? Can you just identify for us what it is that's being triggered in our brain?
Well, I'm not sure that it's as simple as individual nutrients, because, of course, the way they combine and do their activities in the body is very complex. But things such as magnesium and zinc and folate and the omega-3 fatty acids, of course, we know are really important.
Which we find so often in oily fish, don't we? Things like mackerel and salmon.
That's right, oily fish, but also lean red meats. We're really interested to see that there seems to be a very important role for lean red meat in mental health, a very clear U-shaped relationship. So people who have the recommended intake of lean red meat per week, so that's possibly three serves, about 65 to 100 grams, maybe a palm-sized serving, they were half as likely to have major depression, anxiety disorders, and even bipolar disorder, compared to women who had either less than that or more than that. So there seems to be an important role for lean red meat, and that has lots of zinc and iron, which we're also seeing is very important. Vinegar, the sorts of vinegars that you find in balsamic vinegar and a Mediterranean diet, seems to be very important for the gut microbiota. So there's a whole host of nutrients that are really central to our physical and mental health, and they're all found in a really healthy diet. And it's probably important to understand too that it's not okay to just take a whole lot of supplements and continue to eat badly. That really just doesn't work, unfortunately.
Neither is it appropriate that if you're being treated for some form of mental illness, perhaps depression or anxiety, that you can simply just give up medication and take this diet on.
Oh, no, that's absolutely the case. The drugs that we use to treat depression are very, very effective, and they're actually in many ways quite good for the body. They lower systemic inflammation, they help the brain to grow new neurons. They do a lot of things that are very positive for the body, and they are obviously very helpful for people with psychiatric illnesses. So this is certainly not an either-or question.
And if you are taking drugs to treat a mental illness, you may have to be careful with specific foods. For example, those on lithium should avoid drinking too much tea and coffee, as the caffeine can reduce lithium levels. And believe it or not, artichokes and celery can do the same if they're eaten in large amounts. And then there's grapefruit, which changes the way the body metabolizes medication, to the point where it can raise the concentration of those antidepressants, antipsychotics and sedatives. So be careful around grapefruit as well. Why is it that a diet that is so often the Western diet these days, that is high in fats, salts and sugars, processed food, why doesn't it contain the same benefits of natural food if they still contain some of the same nutrients?
What we see, and certainly there's data coming from the experimental models, so when you use animals in such studies, regardless of the nutrient levels, there's a very direct detrimental impact to the brain and the body of having high-fat, high-sugar foods. And we see this over and over again. It reduces levels of proteins in the brain very quickly that we know are really important, not only for mood, but for learning and memory. We see impacts on cognitive functioning within a week on a kind of a junk food diet. And in fact, there's some human studies that have shown the same thing. One particular one where they took middle-aged men who were sedentary, but otherwise they were healthy, put them onto a high-fat junk food diet for a week and showed the same sorts of deficits in cognitive functioning that they see in the animal models. And this is after only 1 week.
Felice Jacka, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us here on RN First Bite.
Thanks so much.
Professor Felice Jacka, a researcher at the Barwon Psychiatric Research Unit at Deakin University. And as she mentioned, you can eat a healthy Mediterranean diet to perhaps ward off some of the elements of mental illness. And then there's other ways of dealing with it too, like treating specific mental illnesses through targeted nutritional supplements. The University of Queensland and Melbourne University have teamed up in a world-first study looking at whether a combination of mood elevators like folic acid, zinc and omega-3, when taken with existing depression medications, can help people with depression for whom the drug treatment alone isn't working. If you're interested in taking part in this study, there's a link on our homepage.